The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, I think we finally talk about Ahsoka and maybe Toy Story football. I don't know. It's going to get weird. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Yes, it is Apathetic Enthusiasm, the show in which we avidly prepare every episode to bring you top-notch content, which is, it's organized, it's bulletized in a format easily digestible by any e-reader and RSS feed.
Yeah, you can build your own e-reader and consume this episode. Or you can follow along on your favorite social media platform, such as X. X had a weird time at the Code conference today where their CEO got all defensive about stuff. We're going to talk about none of it. Check out the Vergecast if you want to hear a full story.
No, that wasn't today. That wasn't today. That was last week. I heard all about that last week.
It was last week. You're right. Yeah, it was last week. We haven't recorded since it happened.
Yeah, that's very, may as well have happened today.
might as well.
I guess nobody knows what day.
Anyway,
we're
at Apathusiast. I'm Jugglemino. He's Barnyard Cruise. We're on X, but none of us use it. We're going to get off of it as soon as they start charging us. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. Apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. We're on Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm, or you can go to our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. You want video versions of this podcast? We got them for you. You can go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. You can get videos of Apathetic Enthusiasm, Intermission RSS, random little shorts that we made like three of them at Comic-Con and haven't done one since. It's the best. Anyway, finally, follow us over at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. You can get bonus content, including exclusive post shows that are really only on Patreon, and some other stuff too. Thanks for being patrons, patreon.com. Brandon, I can tell by the look on your face, you're ready to make an amazing podcast.
I put too much monkey shoulder into that cup.
Oh, you got to be careful with the monkey paw.
Oh, got too much monkey shoulder in this alcohol cup.
In the alcohol cup. What else is in the alcohol cup other than ice?
7-Up. 7-Up's my go-to because I don't like caffeine. You know, well, I do like caffeine, but I can only do it sparingly. I don't know if you know this.
Yeah, we're in our 40s now, Brandon. We can't be having caffeine late into the evening as we record. That just wouldn't be responsible.
No. I have a cup of coffee maybe in the morning. If I have an energy drink later on, it screws me up.
Tell me about it. I this is gonna come off as a humble brag, but it's really for like medical reasons. I phased out soda and energy drinks out of my diet. I went for a period to like sparkling water, like the LaCroix and the liquid death and all that stuff. And then finally it's like, oh, why am I paying for bubbles in my water? I'll just drink water. So I drink coffee, black, bitter coffee in the morning, and then mostly just drink water or any, you know, beer or alcohol if I'm feeling so inclined. But being away from soda and energy drinks for like a year, couple years, when I go to like even sip one, I don't know how I drank those on a regular basis. Like I loved them when I was having them regularly. And then like when you haven't had them in a really long time, the taste is so jarring. It's really insane. Like, I don't know, like occasionally be like, oh, let me try this new energy drink. Nope. Thank you. That tastes like a can of sour chemicals.
Yeah, I mean, but if you think about it like this, Travis, you beer and alcohol, right? I mean, that none of it tastes good. realistically, subjectively and objectively, the first time you ever drink any alcohol, you're like, this is nasty. No. Why am I doing this? 100%. And then it's like, you give up. Your body gives up and you're like, you're going to poison me. I guess I'll enjoy this, right?
Go ahead and consume the mild poison, as they say on Strange Planet.
Whatever it is you're going to do, I'll pretend like this is something that I enjoy as well.
I wonder why that is, because outside of water, you could arguably say anything else that I drink is something that some faction of people find to be utterly disgusting.
True.
Starting my day off with black coffee. I've enjoyed coffee in all of its different versions, right?
Yeah. Oh, have you done olive oil? Have you done the olive oil coffee?
Okay. All right. Let me correct myself immediately. No, I haven't had where you put the butter in the coffee either. Okay. I haven't done that.
I've heard that's good. I've heard it's good.
I've heard some people enjoy diarrhea, and that's fine. But everything from like super like dressed up, sugary, blended frappuccino type coffee drinks to just straight cold, strong cold brew that's never even been warmed up. It's just cold and bitter. And I love it all. Crystals. I love it all. But there are many people that can't stand even the faintest hint of coffee.
Yeah.
And then there's others that the idea of a cup of black coffee is just repulsive. And just over the last probably like 5 to 10 years, I've just really developed a taste for like black coffee. I really enjoy it. I really like it. But yeah, there's so many people that one sip of black coffee, they're like, the gag. They're disgusted by it. And the same could be said for beer, most liquors. I don't know. You just developed that taste for it. And I guess if I just kept drinking energy drinks, I'm sure I would develop the taste for it.
Develop the taste for blood. You know, it's same thing. It tastes like copper the first couple of times, but then you just get used to it.
You get used to it. And then you start to like experiment with different varieties and get the A types and the O types.
We went to Korean barbecue recently. Korean barbecue. You know, I love a good Korean barbecue.
Little beef on the leaf.
Yeah. Sure. There was no leaves, but you know, same concept.
Sure.
And the waitress there was, you know, she comes over and she's like, yeah, let's turn this heat down, Brandon, again. There's too much smoke and everything's on fire. I'm here to turn this down. She came over.
I'm the fire marshal.
I'm not the
fire alarm's been going off for 20 minutes.
No one is in here.
Children are not safe.
Your son is on fire currently. You cannot eat the flesh of humans. But the waitress was saying that kids, like picky eaters, actually like Korean barbecue. They more often than not, because they can experiment, they can like do their own thing and like grab this or that. They're like, oh, I want to try that or try that. So I forget what the point of that was, other than to say maybe it's because that you've been able to experiment.
You acquired the taste for blood. That's what got you on Korean barbecue.
That's right. Yeah. And so if you experiment a little bit, like try blood a little bit this way, try blood a little that way, soon enough you'll be like, you know what? I want some blood with grenadine and a splash of tequila.
Before we get on to actual topics, I was watching Swift Night Football. I mean, Sunday Night Football. And I was like, I'm going to make myself a cocktail, right? I'm going to make something. And I open up the old cabinet. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, Ryan Reynolds is hanging out with Taylor Swift at the Sunday Night Football game. Maybe I'll enjoy some of his Aviation American Gin. Aviation American Gin, not a sponsor of this podcast. Though, my goodness, if we could get that deal to the moon. Anyway, so Aviation Gin, I have like a whole bottle of it. I've made one cocktail with it. And then I looked at what I had available in my kitchen and I was like, I don't think I have a single thing that I would mix with this gin.
You don't have any Gatorade?
I don't have any Gatorade.
Oh, damn. All right. You have any sugar?
I do. I have sugar. I have simple syrup. I could have just mixed simple syrup with Aviation.
American gin. You do what you can.
This is what I love about Brandon is there's no wrong mixer. He'll muddle a cutie if it means he can mix it into a cocktail. I did have some bananas. I could have gone.
Okay, we draw like bananas and cantaloupe. Those are things that you're not going to mix in anything. But you know, I mean that's. But mixology is a thing, you know, like bartenders, they spend their time making mixed drinks. What is a bartender if not a Brandon getting paid for it?
That's what I've always said. Have you ever stumbled upon like a new drink that you were just experimenting with the random beverages in your house and then suddenly stumbled upon something? You're like, oh, this is a combination that you've either never heard of or that you revisited or went back to after trying.
If I have, I forgot about it because it was so good.
I got so drunk
that I
forgot the recipe
and I never remembered it. Yeah. How about, well, I'm not going to ask you because you're not a herpetologist, right?
Sure. Yeah.
That's a study of reptiles, herpetology.
That is a thing I am not. You are correct, Brandon. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on to some actual content. One thing that I want to talk to you about, and we've kind of hinted about this for the entire run of the series. We've only really recorded a couple Apathetic Enthusiasm episodes while the show has been on. But as of this recording, we are less than 24 hours away from the season finale, finale of Ahsoka.
There's only one more episode?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you talk. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
I'm sorry. No,
So Ahsoka, new series in the Star Wars universe. And it's on Disney Plus. It's been out for like 7 weeks, 8 weeks, and it's really good. I really like it. I know you've been watching it are you caught up? Are you watched the latest episode?
Yeah, I'm all caught up. That's the one with Luke Skywalker where he leads the rebellion.
Yeah, that's the one.
They take out the Death Star 6.
they party on Endor in this one.
Yeah.
Though I think they do mention Endor. Anyway, I'm all caught up. We'll probably keep this relatively spoiler-free for the most part, but there's stuff I want to talk about that if you haven't watched the series at all, I would just say maybe skip ahead a while or go watch all seven episodes and then come back and listen to this. But yeah, Rosario Dawson, she is the titular Ahsoka, and and the show is basically
the reason Travis laughed randomly was because he said titular and he saw my nose flare.
Yeah, yeah, you made a face and it got me. But many fans are calling this Rebels, the live action series, because so many characters are actually pulled right from the Rebels animated series that was like on Disney XD. So there's a lot of Star Wars fans that either haven't watched that content, are not familiar with these characters, or don't really know where they're from. I'm curious, Brandon, my first question for you is, did you watch any Rebels content before starting Ahsoka?
No.
Thanks. Moving on.
I didn't. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Periodically, where I am caught up with major character beats for the history of Ahsoka, of Sabine, of Ezra, of Thrawn, lots of these major character beats and some points like hyperspace whales and shit like that. Like, I was tracking all of that going into Ahsoka. And so really what I was wondering was, you know, I don't have all of the background. I didn't watch any of the episodes. But I kind of knew where it was coming from. So I was looking for how much was the show going to market to people who have no idea what Rebels is, right?
Yeah, and that's the question I really kind of want to get after is I was not an avid Rebels fan. I didn't watch the entire series. What I actually did was found a graphic online of here's all the Rebels episodes you should watch before starting Ahsoka. And it really, which it was fan made. They didn't know what the content of Ahsoka was really going to be, only that from the trailer, it was shown that it was going to have some Rebels characters in it. And most of the episodes I watched were major plot points or episodes that actually involved Ahsoka Tano during Rebels. And really, the Ahsoka series only sort of deals with Ahsoka a little. Like, she is the title character. She is definitely central to the story. But all of the other main characters from Rebels really, I think, share the stage, share time. And this is more of almost an ensemble story about all of those characters from Rebels. And so I'm grateful that I did take some time to at least watch some of those episodes so that I could get to know a little bit of their background, a little bit of their history, a little bit more of the relationships that developed throughout the four seasons of Rebels. And that has helped to kind of be more invested in these characters. Do you feel any attachment or any, like, how has the show for you sort of helped you gain, like, interest in these characters? Or does it sort of expect you to already have buy-in with these characters and you're just expected to appreciate them without a lot of setup?
I think it expects you to have buy into the characters a little bit already. So going back to me reading about Rebels ahead of time, you know, for years ago, before Ahsoka was even a twinkle in Filoni's live action eye, I knew about that the story of Ezra. Like, that was the one I was tracking. I was tracking because he's closely tied to Thrawn. And at some point in time, I probably was looking up Thrawn, and so I was interested in like, oh, there's live action Thrawn. Let me look that up. And so when the series now is coming out, and they talk about the casting of Thrawn, and like, okay, so Thrawn's going to be in this, which means that it's going to be tied to the story that I was reading about with Ezra and space whales and all that type of stuff. So I was already kind of expecting to see all of that going into it. But what I tried to do as I was watching, looking at it and saying, okay, I see that there's these little snippets of who's Sabine, who's this person, who's this. And what is it? I'm trying to think of what it's akin to. It's like watching a movie, maybe like a new movie, and maybe it's like tied to something that our parents watched a long time ago, and your parents are watching it, and then they're like, oh my God, he's showing up out of nowhere. He's tied to this. That's crazy. Oh, Easter egg. And you as a kid is like, what are you even talking about? Oh,
who is that?
The 1933 movie where, you know, I mean, that's not a poor example, but like, that's kind of how it feels. Where it's like the reveal of Sabine is supposed to be like, or it's okay. How about this? It's the end of Mandalorian season two when Luke Skywalker shows up and it's like, whoa, look at the. But what if you don't know who Luke Skywalker is?
Yeah, why is that?
Why is that important to me? Right, it expects you to know who Skywalker is already.
Yeah.
In the Star Wars universe, and so I think a lot of Ahsoka, especially early on, is kind of like that. With Thrawn, I know Thrawn. You know Thrawn. Any Star Wars fan worth their weight in Tatooine sand knows who Thrawn is. But for maybe the lay person who's a Star Wars fan, they may not know where he originated, the Timothy Zahn novels, Heir to the Empire, all of those things, some of the other storylines that Thrawn goes into, like how the character he's supposed to be in, about like a tactical genius, all this type of stuff. If you have never heard anything about this blue character, you're thinking like, who the fuck is he?
And why do we even care about this guy?
Is he really
a big deal? Because he's never been mentioned in any other Star Wars stuff.
He just sacrificed a bunch of troops. Like, oh, tactical genius. Oh, they're all dead. Cool. Well, it's fine. Acceptable losses. If you're looking at it from a person who doesn't know that he's a tactical genius, you're like, he just seems to be making a lot of bad decisions. How is he a bad? How is he a main bad guy?
Yeah.
Right. So, okay. Back to you.
No, I mean, I didn't write a script for this discussion, but yeah, I think that is like, I didn't really know much about Thrawn, to be honest, until I started doing my binge watch on Rebels. 'Cause that's when he's initially sort of included in content for the animation or anything like that. And we have no live action Thrawn in any of the movies. So, I don't know. I think the show's been really good. I've really liked the content of it. I think, in contrast to like Mandalorian, where Mandalorian I've enjoyed, but a lot of especially early Mandalorian has felt like, and we've made this criticism before, sort of a quest of the week sort of thing. Like, oh, go to random planet. Have to find random object, have to help certain people to get object, move on to next planet or whatever it was. Right. And this story has felt much more interesting. It's felt like it's had more of a focus with where they're trying to go. I love the casting. I think they've done a really good job with all the live action versions of these characters. I think they've done a pretty good job of reinforcing the relationships between characters. But I don't know if that's biased through a lens of seeing some of these characters beforehand. I don't know. Do you get that same impression? Do you feel like the execution of the show has been good? And have you enjoyed the direction that they've taken with it?
I do like that it's maintained a fairly good sense of focus. Where it's not doing quest of the week. It's a point A to point B story. It's all self-contained within the 8 episodes.
Yeah.
So I like that. The casting I'm kind of iffy about, with the exception of Baylan Skoll.
Ray Stevenson.
Yeah, Ray Stevenson. Rest in peace. I just watched Punisher Warzone, which he plays the Punisher in that. And I'd never seen it before, but I wanted to watch it. I wanted to watch it after seeing him here in Ahsoka, because that character is just, he is such a badass. And I'm like, I want to know more about you. And he's just, he's calm. He's he doesn't show any anger. He's just like, yeah, I was a Jedi once and shit, you know, like disillusioned. He still talks
didn't
about
it. Really work out, you know, didn't,
he still
didn't
talks
work
about
out
it fondly in a,
yeah,
in a way.
That's one thing. The Baylan storyline, I'm really hopeful that they can have some sort of resolution or tie that together in the final episode, because knowing that that actor died after the season was shot, if they had any sort of intent to carry that story further or things like that, yeah, like I'm invested in what they're doing, and I'm curious if that's something that they plan to resolve in this season, or if there's something that they were looking to carry further into the show.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. As far as the other casting, I don't know if it's the way Sabine is written, but she at the start, well, I don't think I was ever a fan of her, honestly. I'm like, yeah. Oh gosh. Just tell Ezra what happened. What the, and why is Ezra not being like, why won't you tell me? I've hung out with you for 2 days now and you won't tell me why,
yeah,
like when we're going home or what the plan is, you know, that type of stuff. So like the character annoys me, I think, more than the actress. Yeah, Thrawn is cool. I like Thrawn. I don't like the Morgana. Like, yeah. she just always, she's just staring off into space. She always looks like, I hate my life. She's annoying. She looks annoying to me.
Which one? Morgan Elsbeth?
Okay. I said Morgana because that reminds me of like the Camelot stories. So there's a lot of like, it feels like there's a lot of mirroring for the Camelot stories throughout the series so far.
Okay.
So like Balin Skull is like a knight. He's like kind of a black knight. Morgan is a witch, right? Morgana is a witch in the King Arthur tales. Early on this season, the other like kind of Jedi, dark Jedi thing,
oh yeah, what was his name?
Like Wolfram or something.
Maroc, I think.
Yeah. Which did that character die?
Yeah, so sort of unceremoniously, and we're definitely in spoiler territory now, but
I don't remember that character leaving.
So that was the fight where Sabine and Ahsoka went to get the map from them before they were taking off, and they're fighting in the woods, and he like gets slashed with a lightsaber and just turns into like smoke.
Oh, that's right.
And
that's
like,
right.
And like fizzles out, and just his armor's left behind, which is like alluding to something again with the witches or stuff like that. But yeah, there were a ton of rumors and theories circling online. Like, oh, maybe that's Ezra. Ezra's like masked up, or he's turned evil. Certainly wasn't the case, but
no, certainly.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this show has brought some really awesome moments from what I would call the Filoniverse of Star Wars, which is deeply rooted in the animated series. And if you're not a fan of the animation or you haven't given them a chance, there are a lot of things that fans of those animated stories, they're getting payoff, they're getting, and truly that can be said for most of what's been done with Star Wars on Disney Plus, because they've introduced so many characters into live action that are callbacks to the Clone Wars, callbacks to just all of those animated series. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think it's really cool. And I think the whole World Between Worlds episode where Ahsoka is mentored again by
Hayden Christensen.
Anakin and yeah, and they go back and like have that live action Clone Wars scene and stuff like that. It's some really cool stuff. It's really awesome.
Yeah,
Purrgil, the space whales. They're not my favorite thing. They're not my favorite thing.
They're not my favorite. They're my favorite thing. It's too Star Trek the Lost Discovery or whatever, like Star Trek 4 or whatever, the one with the whales. It's too that for me. What I would say, I think, with not the whales, but just the Filoniverse. I tend for when I hear the Filoniverse, I hear it's going from Rebels to now live action type of stuff. I my first instinct is to kind of poo-poo on it and be like, okay, yeah. But I mean, it's good. It's good Star Wars, and a lot of people liked it. And like that may have been maybe some kids' first in a introduction to the show or to the universe. And so, you know, it's a good thing. I think my only one of the things that I have about Star Wars lately with this era of Star Wars, which is in between the original trilogy and the new trilogy, which there's going to be a movie now, the Filoni movie, which Ahsoka is certainly setting up for with Thrawn about to escape into the Star Wars actual universe, is the fact that there are so many Jedi type characters within Star Wars now in this period of time that like it's not quite a retcon. They're just filling in the gaps, but in the original trilogy is like, there's no Jedi at all. And then the new trilogy is like, there's no Jedi at all. Like it's just like a myth that people are like, yeah. Oh, there's no Jedi. Like,
yeah.
What?
It's all true. All of it.
All of that
line from Han. Yeah.
And now it's like, the Galactic Senate, the New Republic Senate, they all know about Ahsoka, and they're like, oh yeah, Ahsoka's running off doing her thing, but maybe she's not a Jedi. Maybe that's why they never talk about her.
That's no Jedi. That's your like famous line or whatever.
That's the type of stuff with Baylan's like apprentice or whatever, right? There are force sensitive people that are using lightsabers and getting into lightsaber duels in this universe at the same time. And so it's kind of like a get off my lawn type of thing for older Star Wars fans. Like, where did all these fucking force users come from? I think that's my only like side cry. But I do enjoy the show. I am enjoying the show. I've watched every episode as they've come out. And so I think that shows more about how much I enjoyed this more than say The Mandalorian season 1 and 2.
Yeah, and you haven't even given the third season a shot, right?
Oh no, I watched that. We talked about that. I like that one because it was more of a straight shot of
that's
like
right. That's yeah. right. Somebody at work told me today that Pedro Pascal has basically said if they just continued The Mandalorian with Bo-Katan, he's like, yeah, I'd be fine with that. She can be the Mandalorian. Like the way that it ended with him and Grogu, like perched up on the porch there with their own little homestead, I think is a fitting end. I think that like,
yeah,
but I don't think we're done seeing those characters.
I think we talked about it when we covered The Mandalorian, where like that's a good series finale for them.
Yeah.
Like maybe we see them again, but they're not featured players, right? They're like, what's that? That one X-wing pilot who keeps showing up and everything, Carson Tiga or whatever, like where he's like shows up randomly.
He's like been in more of these projects than some of the main characters now.
Yeah. Like, oh, there's Carson again. It's the Where's Waldo of Star Wars.
So I just looked up upcoming Star Wars projects. You have Skeleton Crew, which was supposed to be a 2023 release date for this series, but I think because of various strikes, I think that it's been delayed. But it's sort of being referred to as sort of like a Goonies in space type of show in the Star Wars universe. So I don't see it being the same type of like core like mythology for Star Wars as some of the other ones. The Acolyte, that season, that's supposed to take place like early, like Dawn of the Jedi type stuff. That could be interesting as backstory, but again, it's not really going to fit into the same timeline. And then Andor season two is coming again. Fantastic. We love Andor on this podcast, but not in this part of Star Wars history. So I think maybe the Filoni movie might be the next thing that kind of ties all of these pieces together. And I'm here for it. Sign me up. Use your Stubbs A-list to get preferred seating. Also not a sponsor.
And a free upgrade on any medium popcorn.
Anyway, I don't know. Any other lingering thoughts about Ahsoka or any predictions for the finale?
I don't know. I don't know about particular. What I would like to say is that, so this is spoiler, but if you are tracking the series, you know that a big thing is that they're seeking out Ezra. I've talked about Ezra multiple times already. So they find him eventually. And what I like about Ezra is if we're speaking in D&D terms, he is,
and we often do.
As we often do. I'm going to roll a 20 right now as far as my observations go. What I like about him as he doesn't want to use a lightsaber, he ends up being more of like a monk. Right.
A force monk. Absolutely.
A force monk. And so I like that. I don't think that maybe they'll explore it more in the finale. I would love to see more monk force fighting without a lightsaber to do that type of stuff, because it's cool. The concept is cool. We only saw maybe just like a handful of moments where like, okay, that's cool. And then he gets knocked the fuck out. He gets thrown.
I mean, he's like, you know what? Maybe let me take one of these blasters after all.
And then he gets that the loser. But so he does like a Kylo Ren type thing where the Shin, I think, she swings a lightsaber at him, and then he like force holds it to protect himself. Same thing. Yeah, Kylo Ren.
You can kind of see like the distortion on the lightsaber and everything too. Yeah. It's really cool.
So I dig that. I dig that like that unarmed. Like key type thing.
I'm really curious if that's gonna play out as like is he holding back? Is he more powerful than we've been led on? Another thing that's been, I feel like this is something that was common in the Rebels series, is Ezra's temptation by the dark side of the Force. He's never been a purely light-sided Jedi-type character.
Because he's a Bakken or something like that?
I don't know. I probably missed that episode.
They talk about it in this last episode. It starts with a B. I think there's some K's in there. But it's about Jedis who weren't raised by Jedi. They're like the Force users who were born after the Jedi Order had fallen. Like Luke Skywalker is one of them.
Yeah, and Ezra's master was a very young Jedi who was a Padawan during Order 66 when all the Jedi were taken out at the end of the Clone Wars. And so he kind of like was like a Jedi in hiding that eventually trains Ezra, but was never like a full like mature Jedi in his own right. And so eventually, you know, grows throughout the course of the series. But Ezra, there's a whole sequence in the show where he goes to find a Sith holocron or something like that. And he's like listening to it and learning from it to like gain more power from the dark side. Darth Maul is trying to like take him under his wing and have him be Ezra be Darth Maul's apprentice for a period of time. So There's a lot in the show about him sort of being pulled between the light and the dark. And I'm curious if, you know, he's been alone out on this planet, either hiding from Thrawn or like, you know, fighting with Thrawn. But has he only been using the light side of the Force while he's out there? Or has he tapped into all of his knowledge of the Force, and will that come back to, you know, come into play in this finale? I don't know. Maybe they don't touch it at all.
I wonder if that is the case, but I would feel as a viewer, and maybe this would be intentional. I would feel as if you were betrayed because he was with those cute ass little turtle things.
Turtle guys. Yeah.
Right. That's like, living with him for a long time.
Maybe those little turtle guys are evil as well. And we just haven't seen the dark side yet.
Okay. If they're all like little evil Force users, it's like the cutest little
hobbit clothes.
They're all like little Yodas, but they're all evil Yodas.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll have to watch and find out.
If that happens, Filoni, I trust. If that happens.
Yeah. If that happens. Overall, it's been a good series. It's made for some great water cooler talk. I guess one last thing before we move on to other topics. The shift in Disney's release schedule, starting with Ahsoka, I think they're going to keep this up through some of their other series, but this was the first show that they moved from premiering at midnight on Wednesday to releasing at 9 p.m. Eastern. I guess that would be six Pacific on Disney Plus, so that you can watch it in the evening on Tuesday. And I feel like it's made it much more like appointment viewing, where I plan to watch Ahsoka on Tuesday nights. For Mandalorian, all the other shows, it would be like, all right, I'm going to watch it on Wednesday sometime after work or when I get home or before or after dinner. I don't know. We'll see what the night looks like. But with Ahsoka, it's been like it premieres at 8 o'clock in the central time zone where I'm at. I'm ready. I'm ready to hit play as soon as 8 o'clock rolls. And the people that I work with that I'm like talking about the show with are all doing the same thing. So people are like texting each other during the show, like, oh yeah, did you see that? Oh, can't believe, C-3PO. I've never been so excited to see C-3PO before, right? Like all this stuff. And that's not something that I've experienced since probably Game of Thrones was out. Like, I feel like that was probably the last show outside of Rick and Morty, which
okay. All right. You called it. I was about to call you out.
But... yeah. Outside of Rick and Morty, that it's really been a show that like people have all watched at the same time and then gone back to work and like talked about. And I have multiple conversations in different offices on a Wednesday with people being like, oh, what'd you think? And bringing it up. So I really think it was a good move on Disney's part, adjusting the release time to that 8 p.m. 9 p.m. Eastern time release.
What I'd also say is a good move on Disney's part is giving the writers a fair deal. That's
how
right
about it. How
that's,
about it?
That's right. It's our WGA support minute. Congratulations to the WGA getting everything they wanted from the from the deal, the AMTP
strike is over for the writers. They're back to work. Tonight is the premiere of like all of the late night talk shows. So I've seen all of the Jimmys are back. The Stephen Colbert's are back. Maybe we'll get a new Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Yeah, it's back. Potentially, it's back. It came back already.
Just in time for a near pissed. Government shutdown.
He's pissed.
He's pissed. He's taking names. But yeah, no, I think that's great. I think now that they've gotten the writers what they need, let's focus on the SAG-AFTRA strike. Let's get that taken care of, so we can get everybody back to work and get all these other shows back into production, and things.
You know what's great is the SAG portion of video game voice actors are about to strike.
That's right. They are. So watch out, video game industry. Although I will say the video game industry is such a like lagging type of industry where the amount of time it takes to produce a video game, like early voice actors, like their games may not come out for years later. So
yeah,
there's potential that there will be less disruption in the video game space.
I think while
they negotiate in some sort of deal.
I had heard a story from a voice actor who's a prominent voice actor in animation who does some voice acting for video games as well. You might have heard his voice on Psychonauts. But I've heard that he has talked about, like, in video games, in the video game industry, it is so far behind in voice acting, and they're just like getting away with like using AI for a lot of the stuff, right? Which is what the writers were going against, which is what I'm sure some of the actors are going against as well. Talking about AI, I just saw like GPT show is a big thing nowadays. So whereas ChatGPT is, you know, you put in a prompt, you type it in, you're like, hey, show me movies about corn that are horror films, and then Children of the Corn happens, right? And it goes like, here's blah blah blah, step by step.
Does it generate the movie?
No. What this would do is like I can send it a picture. I can send it a picture, maybe like a diagram or like a flowchart, and I could be like, turn this into a code for a SharePoint site. And so what ChatGPT or the GPT show will do is take that picture, say like you draw it out on a whiteboard, it'll take that image and then it'll like code something for you for a SharePoint site. Or if there's like a dashboard already that exists with like some like a pie graph, and then there's some line charts over here, then there's some information here, and you're like, develop the code to recreate this dashboard, blah blah blah, and it will do that for you.
So you're giving it visual prompts instead of written prompts.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
That's insane.
So another example is like, here's a page of a bunch of math questions. Take a picture of it, send it in there and be like, hey, answer these questions for me.
I will say GPT notoriously bad at calculations and bad at math, but still a solid example.
It's a step away
where the future is going. One thing that some of my friends and folks that I work with have been using ChatGPT for is any kind of structured writing, or when you have to write something in a particular format. And also they're going to school, they're knocking out college courses. So they've gotten really good at using ChatGPT as a tool, and not just, and like people like worry about cheating with ChatGPT and being like, okay, well, I have to write this essay. Give me an essay on the Roman Empire, right? And then here spits out an essay. But my buddy was showing me like, no, I need it to write, I'm writing up an award for someone. So I feed it all of the accomplishments of the individual, and then I feed it prompts that say, here is an example of another one, like that, like what the award should look like. Here's an example of like the type of statements you should put in and everything. And then it rewrites your information. And then spit something out that's like 90% correct, right? And then you can take that, clean it up, move things around, stuff like that. But to me, that's where the real benefit of something like GPT is, where it could do the research for you a little bit or give you easy answers. But just like with Google, there's so many people that don't know how to use Google effectively. If you know how to use Google really effectively, you can really find the answers that you're looking for. The same with GPT, where you, if you can feed it the right prompts and kind of coach the AI into giving you the right types of responses, it's much more powerful. It can be much more beneficial to get you to the answers that you need.
It is absolutely about the coaching. It's not just about saying, give me one sentence that summarizes my life. Okay. It'll be like, oh, I don't know what your life is, but here's what I think your life is about. It's like, well, here's what you need to know about my life. I was born in California. I was in the military. I did this. my greatest accomplishment is this, my worst failure is this. Put these into the sentence. And then it'll be like, da, 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 da. I'm like, okay, it wasn't that bad. Go ahead and make that a little bit less bad. Here's an example of something that's a little less bad. I stole some money from my son to pay for a present for him. Like, okay. Chat, and then they'll edit it, right? It's all about the coaching. Like, start with a prompt. What do you want to do? Work it through it to give you that 90% solution. And then you take it. And that's what makes it yours, right? If you just ask ChatGPT to write something for you, then that's not yours at all. All it's there is to, it's like spell check or grammar check, just an advanced version of that. It's helping you expand upon your ideas and help them flesh out in a way that, you know, I can replace a bunch of hangers and stuff in my house with a screwdriver, but the drill, tell you what,
use the tool, right? And some people are going to have more success and less success with it. Some people are going to straight up use it wrong, and in the wrong hands, every tool is a hammer, right? Or whatever the phrase is.
That's what they say.
Anyway, before we get out of here, we're talking about coaching AI, and I want to segue to one other thing that I watched this weekend.
That's good.
A little bit of coaching and a little bit of AI. That is, of course, going back to Disney Plus, Sunday Funday Football. This was a glorious dumpster fire of an experiment where they took the London International NFL game with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Atlanta Falcons, I believe. And that game was being played in London, which meant that here in the United States, that game was going to be on very early in the morning, starting at 9 a.m. on the East Coast, all the way to like 6 in the morning for the West Coast.
For all those kids.
Sunday morning, kids want to watch cartoons. They want to be entertained. So Disney Plus took the opportunity to try an experiment to appeal to kids by doing a Toy Story overlay of the entire football game. So if you haven't heard anything about this, they use technology to simulcast this NFL game in near real time, but using animated toy football players that were going to be playing this game on a carpet in Andy's room, where the claw from the claw machine resets the football. Slinky Dog is the first down markers, and his body would get shorter and longer depending on how far they were from a first down. The commentators were toys, and they did overlays of the commentators. Special halftime show from the Canuck with all the luck, Duke Kaboom, is going to do a stunt spectacular. So this is we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but this is an attempt again to appeal to a younger audience, to teach kids about football, get them interested in the sport. There were periods throughout the game where they were literally teaching the rules of football. And when something would happen in the game, the commentators would like explain it like you'd never watched football before, which I'm sure for a lot of kids was the case, right? So in concept, I love the idea. I think this is so cool. I love innovative ideas. I love fun experiments like this. And I love when everything goes wrong. So I'm watching this from the perspective of like, this is a lot of technology. This is the first implementation of it. Something's going to break. Something's going to not go as it expected. And sure enough, on the first drive of the game, I think one play was actually visible on the field, because everything else, like the ball was glitching out, it kept like zipping over to the sideline. They had to go like a super like far away angle, like where you could kind of see some players moving around. There was, I think, three or four downs played where they just had the camera on the commentators and they were just like talking, right? Well, they were using motion capture for the commentators, right?
Yeah.
So you could see their mouths move, you could see their expressions. And they didn't program an awkward stare for these commentators, but there was a point when they were both like, so looks like we've got some technical difficulties in Andy's room. And so they just like tell you what was happening with the game, even because you couldn't see it because they were still trying to figure out the software. It was a glorious disaster, right? But they worked out some of those kinks. They fixed some of the glitches, and when it worked, it was pretty cool. Like, it basically looked like Madden, like football or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There were some cool. There was a couple moments where like they threw an interception. You could see the guy running it back, and like everything worked, and that was working. I think the first touchdown of the game, I feel like the ball was the biggest issue. Like, they're having a hard time tracking the ball on the field. So like, quarterback drops back, throws a booming pass into the end zone, and on the screen it looks like the ball hits the receiver's hands and then just immediately drops to the ground. But they're like,
touchdown!
Yeah! And I'm like, oh, that's not how touchdowns work. Usually you have to catch the ball. But it's just another glitch from the game and stuff. So I don't know. I think it was really interesting. I only watched, I think, the first half. And I was like, all right, that's enough. I think I can move on to other things.
I didn't watch any of it. Robert, my brother-in-law, was talking to me about it. He was saying he was cracking up watching it. Like when they go into the huddle, like all the players, like they're
doing the shake, the NPC shake when they get too close to each other.
Yeah, the clipping. Yeah, he said he was cracking up about that type of stuff. You know, technology is cool and all, like, cool. Like they try something different. It's not for me. It's not for you necessarily. It's for somebody. It's for some kids somewhere. But, nah.
Yeah, here's what I'll say. Like, from a technology standpoint, I thought it was really interesting. I think we're maybe like 3 to 5 years away from this being like a viable way of trying to show games, yeah. Right? And yeah, Toy Story, it's cheesy, it's for kids, right? Like, but the options are endless, right? Depending on the property that you have, depending on the partnerships that you want to get in with, like
a child's
you talked about the Bud Bowl.
Nightmare on Elm Street thing.
You talked about the Bud Bowl, like what if you had a live action Bud Bowl, right? Like you could do that, right? Nightmare on Elm Street. You could do it. Halloween happens during the football season. Yeah, you could totally do a football or a horror version where you got horror characters playing on the field, or you know Jason's on the sideline or something like that. I don't know. You could, I don't know, Harry Potter. You could do Marvel characters. You could do all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Lots of options. So I don't know. It was crazy. It was fun. I don't know. Highlights for me, Slinky Dog as the first down marker. That was pretty great. And then they would use the little green aliens and they would pop up from the bottom of the screen every time there was like a foul, and they would hold a sign up that would say what the foul was. And so I have a picture on my phone of just an alien with a sign that says neutral zone infraction. And to me, that's like the most chaotic thing that exists in the world. So thank you, Disney. Thank you for investing so much time and money into this experiment. Hopefully it's a minimum viable product that can go on and be something even more spectacular a few years from now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, a neat experiment and a little bit of a fever dream. So.
Yes. Well, good. We get into football. We're football season, four games in. And you know, it's Monday Night Football right now, so you know, it's probably something we would check out to make sure that I'm basically the last.
Oh, I'm already destroyed in the
free agent
game
list. So,
although in the Office League, I am now a 99% chance of victory with them being in the third quarter. So that will put me at 4-0 in the Office fantasy.
Nice. I'm 3-1, just like my Dolphins.
Right. There we go. Chargers beat the Raiders. That's all I could say.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway. All right.
That is it.
We're done.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks,
everyone. We are 2 weeks away from
Rick and Morty
starting. So this
close.
Is maybe the last Apathetic Enthusiasm, if not one more, for quite some time. If you're an Apathetic Enthusiasm fan, thank you so much, because there's so few of you. But we love you. Thank you so much for listening, for watching. Until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. Until next time.
Some watch.
Brandon.
Some like to watch. Often from a closet, always wearing a Superman costume.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.